present The Higher They Fly, a novel by Christopher Hodder Williams, freely adapted for broadcasting by Norman Edwards.
Ministry of Aviation, what Supervisor Scrivens here? What? Oh, what sort of gear? Oh, very well. Come to my room and report.
Well, Scrivens, I'll be on my way.
Well, goodbye, Captain Fleming.
Oh, you can drop that captain.
Hmm?
Surely you know that I've been grounded. Not allowed to fly anymore.
Oh, no.
I showed the white feather on a check flight and had to let co-pilot Truman land the plane. There's no secret about it, is there?
No, I'm sorry.
So am I. Very sorry. Especially because I can't remember a thing about that flight.
Amnesia. You're not well, Fleming. Sick leave is what you need.
And the sack is what I'll get.
Come in. Ah, Forbes. Now, what's all this about finding gear?
This is part of the stuff, sir. I found it on the perimeter track as I crossed over by the boundary lights just after the last jet got off. But
this is a piece of main undercarriage lock. Anything else?
Well, there's the remains of a wheel out there and some other odds and ends.
You didn't see the wheel fall?
No, sir. Too dark.
Well, Captain...
Oh.
Fleming. How bad is it?
I'm grounded. I don't count anymore.
If you're an engineer as well as a pilot, I'd value your technical opinion. How bad is it?
I don't know. Yet. But I don't think the pilot can get down.
But he must. 70 passengers.
What you're holding, Scrivens, is part of the hydraulic gear from the undercarriage. You'd better let the radar room know, because if the owner of this bit of gear tries to get his undercarriage down, he won't be able to get it up again either.
Well, as long as he can get it down, I can't see how that matters.
Oh, well...
He's only lost one wheel out of a total of eight.
Well, you'll see what I mean when you have a look at the drawings, and then...
Fleming, you all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
I thought you were going to faint. You're in bad shape, Fleming.
I'm a lot better off than those poor devils up there.
I must radio the pilot.
Oh, I'd like to help.
Yes, Fleming, but I can't allow you to intervene officially. It'll be up to the pilot to decide what to do.
Yes, I suppose so. And I forgot that I'm the big failure around these parts.
Oh, this is no time for self-pity. Forbes,
sir,
get along to the radar room, give them the facts, say I'll be along in a jiffy.
Very good, sir.
Fleming.
Yes?
Speaking unofficially.
Yes?
You checked through that jet 4 a year ago, didn't you?
Yes.
I suppose you know that aircraft inside out.
As a matter of fact, I do. But I certainly don't know how to land an aircraft that size with an undercarriage that's going to be at right angles to the line of flight when the pilot lowers it.
Between you and me, what do you think the pilot should do?
Well, all I can say at this stage is that he may have to try a belly landing and hope for the best.
Hello? Hello, Woodford. Yes, Fleming's here. He wants to speak to you.
Oh. Hello?
Robert, Ken Woodford here. I'm in the country. Air traffic control phoned me just now and told me about the Jet 4. Oh, why the hell didn't you phone me yourself?
I don't know.
Wake up! What the devil's the matter with you? This is a matter of life or death. You must help.
I don't see what can be done.
Nor do I yet. But you know as well as I do what the chances of getting a Jet 4 down on his bare belly. It's just about nil. They'll have to do some engineering in flight.
Well, you're out of your mind.
Not possibly. Now listen, get hold of the drawings and work out from them what can be done.
But how can they work on the undercarriage? They can't get near it.
Well, they can get into number 3 systems bay and then smash their way through the floor. Now put Scrivens on.
He wants to talk to you again.
Scrivens here. Fleming has just left the room. He's not feeling well.
He's not feeling well, but... Look, you'll have to use him, Scrivens. I designed that aircraft, and Fleming knows it inside out.
I'm sorry, Mr. Woodford. Fleming is in no shape to help in this situation.
Scrivens, I would remind you that Fleming flew the check program for undercarriage endurance. As well as being a line captain, he's a creative engineer in his own right. Are you trying to tell me you don't need him?
I tell you, the man is ill. He doesn't know what he's doing.
In my opinion, he's the only person you're likely to get hold of tonight who can assess the trouble technically and advise the captain of the Jet 4 on the best landing technique. If you can't handle him and get him to help, then God help the passengers and crew of that aircraft.
I'll do what I can, but it's obvious to me the fellow's on the verge of a breakdown. He's been going about in a half-dazed condition since he cracked up during that check flight and Truman had to take over the controls.
Yes, I heard about it, but I must say I don't understand it. I've known Robert Fleming for a good many years, and he's the last person I would have thought to behave as Truman said he did. Now, what's your personal view?
Well, if there's anything in rumor...
Now, what rumor?
Well, just catty gossip, I suppose.
Well, tell me the hell with tails out of school. This is an emergency. Whatever the gossip is, it may be a clue to Fleming's incredible behavior. Well, come on. Out with it, Scrivens.
Well, it concerns Fleming's girlfriend.
Julie, yes. I've met her. What about her?
Well, I said that Truman's been poaching.
Successfully?
So rumor has it.
Jimmy Truman has a reputation as a Don Juan, hasn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah, so do I. Now, listen, I'm stuck in the country, but keep in touch. But use Fleming somehow. He's your only chance. Keep me informed, please.
I'll do all I can, Mr. Woodford. Hello. Oh, Talbot, yes, I'm coming to your office now. Have you found out which plane... Oh, you have. State Line 46, London to New York. Have you made radio contact? Or what's the captain say? What? He's not sure? Well, my God, if he's not satisfied... Talbot, I'll be with you right away. I want to talk to the captain myself.
Is there anything I can get you, Mr. Hobb?
Oh, now I come to think of it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new club in New York you'd love. How about a date?
I'm sorry, but a stewardess isn't allowed to have personal associations with passengers.
Do you always stick to the rules?
At times, Mr. Hobb, the rules suit me very well. Look, how about a martini?
Thanks. Good for my damaged ego.
Anything for you, Dr. Rogers?
No, thank you.
Ah, so I'm sitting beside a lady doctor.
Correct. And over there is a famous actress, Jane Tyne.
Really? She's great. I hear she's opening a new play on Broadway. Ah, glad I didn't economize and fly tourist.
I've heard there's not a vacant place.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
70 people in the next cabin. Quite a load. Say, who's that big geezer over there talking to the first officer?
I think I heard the stewardess say he's a Mr. Valentine, a businessman from London.
He's sure been knocking back a lot of whiskey.
So I've noticed. I think Mr. Truman is trying to persuade him to go easy.
Truman? Is that the first officer's name?
Yes, Jimmy Truman. I've been told he's co-pilot on this flight, and a very good one, too.
Maybe. I don't like his blonde hair or his face.
Why?
He knows he's a good-looking guy.
Oh, but charming, don't you think?
Charming. Polished. Professional Romeo.
As a matter of fact, I think you're right. But I'd rather have to deal with him than Mr. Valentine.
I wonder what those two are talking about.
Of course, Mr. Truman, it's all very different nowadays. The day when I had my own plane, one really had to know how to fly.
Really, Mr. Valentine?
Yes, really. As far as I can see, you chaps have pretty well nothing to do. Autopilots, altitude locks, course locks, and God knows what else. Piece of cake, eh? But, of course, this is not the airline I usually travel with.
I hope it meets with your approval, Mr. Valentine.
Mr. Truman?
Ah, hello, Susan. Want me?
No, Captain Crook wants you up front.
Oh. Excuse me, Mr. Valentine.
Oh, that's all right. Susan, my girl.
Yes, Mr. Valentine.
How about another of my favorites? Just a double and just a dash of water. Just show the bottle.
Very good, Mr. Valentine.
No need to say a word. Hurry up, my girl. Hurry it up.
Perfect idiots, Jimmy. That's what they are.
Why? And who are they, Captain?
I've just been talking to Scrivens on the RT. He wants to know if we still have an undercarriage.
What?
What do you think, Jimmy? Any wheels down there, do you think?
Huh. It seemed all right at takeoff. You notice anything, Jeff? Huh?
5 degrees right, Captain.
Yeah, where are we going, Perkins? The Tate Gallery?
There's a beam wind picking up all the time, Captain.
Right, all right. 5 degrees it is. Now, repeat. Did you notice anything at takeoff?
Well, I had a vague feeling that something hit us. A sort of thump. I felt it rather than heard it.
Yeah?
I'm sorry, I should have mentioned it to you before.
No, forget it. Wouldn't have made any difference. Look, do you think you could get your great body through a very small hole?
The servicing duct.
Number 3 systems bay.
Oh, I'll try. Tight squeeze. I'm the fat boy of Peckham, you know.
Now, listen. If we have hit anything, you should see that the hull has been dented. In number 3 bay, you'll be right above the retracted wheels.
Yeah.
If that's where the trouble is, there may be some damage visible from the inside. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we must depressurize. Airways have authorized us to go down to 10,000 feet. Yeah, well, I'll have to tell the customers. Pass the microphone, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. We are going down to an altitude of 10,000 feet, and I am about to depressurize the aircraft. You will probably find no difficulty whatsoever in breathing when I let the wind out, so to speak. But if you do have, you've only to press the red button above your heads, and an oxygen mask will drop down. There is no cause for alarm, but one of my crew will be inspecting certain equipment. Please do not smoke, although you may move around as much as you please. I shall be making a further announcement later. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Rogers, what do you make of that?
A jovial understatement, Mr. Harmon.
Yes. Even at Yale, I got to know you British love understatements.
Losing 20,000 feet in order to depressurize.
Yeah, I wonder what the trouble is. Flaps? Undercarriage?
I don't know much about aircraft.
Nor do I. But this one has a bug in it somewhere. The captain was too offhand.
Stewardess?
Yes, Dr. Rogers? Can I get anything for you?
Your name is Susan, isn't it?
That's right. Susan Eccles.
Oh, stewardess.
Too formal. Susan it is.
Fine, that's okay by me.
Do you know what the trouble is?
Trouble? Oh, there's no trouble. Captain Cook is one of our most experienced pilots. Rather than leave you in the dark, he prefers to let his passengers know what is happening.
Stewardess! Stewardess! Hey, my girl! Oh, servant! Dear. Servant! Empty glass!
Coming,
come on,
sir!
My girl.
They Fly, a novel by Christopher Hodder Williams, freely adapted for broadcasting by Norman Edwards.